Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing. This message is by Andrew Boyd.
Malachi 3:24, just to get straight into it, says that God turns the heart of fathers to their children and children to their fathers. And 2 Corinthians 5 says God has committed to us a ministry of reconciliation. Mm. It's the same ministry that Jesus came with, that while we were still far off, with our backs turned towards him and our hearts hardened against him, he came. While we were still sinners and in rebellion and chose that, he came. He's amazing. And he's committed that same ministry of reconciliation to us. Mm. And you know, just one thing that struck me when you, the extraordinary Father's Day gift for those who can't see this, this is a little scrubbing brush that's been given to the men in the church by Kai and Andrea. And first of all, it made me think that I'm a warrior. I'm putting it on my head as a Mohican here. But actually, you know, God puts his treasure in earthen vessels. So when you look in the mirror, don't despise your earthiness, because God did not and does not despise your earthiness. He doesn't just see what you see with your eyes. He trusts you. And he chooses earthen vessels to put his treasure in. And what I see with this brush is that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, the King of Kings. Got down and washed the feet of his disciples. And they protested. I've had my feet washed a couple of times. It's an odd thing. You think, I don't really want you to look at my feet or touch my feet or smell my feet. God help us all. But, you know, as this Father's Day, so as men who minister and as everybody who ministers, a minister is a servant. And Jesus showed us how to serve. We get on our knees close enough to feet to smell them, and we clean them tenderly and kindly. So if God doesn't despise the earthiness of the vessel, you, me, then we mustn't despise the earthiness that we see in one another, because we're all the same, right? But he lives in us and he's amazing. And now he's committed to us the scrubbing brush of reconciliation to do the same. So that's our theme today, this Father's Day. Now, every family has had a mother and a father, although we don't always know them. And what I picture in my mind's eye, and I'm going to speak slowly today because I want the words to have a weight. I just see God moving among us, between us, touching hearts. So are we ready to do business with God?
No.
Are we ready to let him touch our hearts today?
Yes.
Good. Who was your mother or father in the faith? Who brought you to birth in Christ? Just picture them in your mind's eye. And let's just take a moment to give thanks for their kindness to us. We're grateful that somebody looked at you and said, you're worth it.
Wow.
You're worth it. However, whatever you presented, and when I became a Christian, I, at the age of 13 or 14, I went up at a meeting to argue. I was the first one up, altar call, first one up. I went up to argue with these fluff-for-brains Christians. Typical arrogant 14-year-old, honestly, pathetic. But I did. And to my great, great joy, a young student from Cardiff argued back very kindly and very graciously. And he said, look, I haven't got answers to all your questions, but I'll try and find out. Come back and see us in a fortnight. And I did. And they led me back to the Lord who'd already touched my heart at the age of 12. Somebody looked at you and said, you're worth it. You're worth it. Now, our families are often messy. Mine is messy. I'm married twice, 4 children. And we're not always as close to one another as we ought to be in our families. So these days are always bittersweet. Father's Day, Mother's Day, they always have that. Sometimes we're estranged, you know, and cracks can appear in relationships. And those cracks can become chasms of woundedness or offense. And we can grow apart. So as the Lord walks among us, let me just ask you, is there anyone you need to forgive right now? To forgive and to go further than that, to bless them. Mm. Even if you're still estranged, to forgive and to bless. Let's just take a moment. To forgive is one thing, to bless is another. So let me just make it harder for you. Can you give thanks for that person? Because God entrusted you with that person in your life because he knew that the trials and tribulations you go through would draw you closer to him. Can you give thanks for that person? And if you can't, yet, just say, Father, bring me to that place where I can forgive and where I can bless and where I can give you thanks because you knew and you know still. Thank you, Lord. You know, every child needs to leave home, just as every bird needs to fly the nest. And sometimes it can take division to do that. We all have to become people in our own right. We all have to do things differently from our parents because we learn, hopefully, from their mistakes, and then we're free to make our own mistakes, which we all do, because the pendulum swings from one side to the other. And the things that our folks got wrong, we put right, but then we've left other stuff aside and we make our own way in life and we all need to do that. But even when a family separates into two families, God's heart is for love and for reconciliation. Mm. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, and you know the scripture's important when it says that, there are a few like that. Above all, maintain a fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love looks at the treasure, not the earthen vessel. Love looks at what God sees in the heart. Sometimes that's potential. Sometimes it's actual. Sometimes it's track record. I look around this room and I see the history, see what God has worked in your lives. Babs, you have woven golden threads into the hearts of so many people. You've done that, and they are indelible threads of gold. And the reference for that is when Aaron and others had sinned and done terrible things, God was talking to Moses at the mountaintop and said, make a robe for Aaron, call him my priest, and weave into that robe threads of gold. God knew what was happening at the foot of the mountain, but he still chose to honor and give dignity to Aaron, extraordinary. And I just sensed earlier that you have woven threads of gold into people's lives, which are of eternal value and worth, young people, children, and others. Teacher, exactly. So can we love our fathers, even though we've gone on different paths, we've chosen to walk on different paths? Who are our fathers in the faith? And an odd question here, do we need to be reconciled to them? Why is he asking that? Do you know, every denominational split, and the church is full of them, especially the Protestant church, where we're always protesting. Every denominational split is like a child leaving home. Often for good reasons at the time, for necessary reasons at the time. And those are reasons that may often stand the test of time, because the next generation receives fresh revelation and wisdom and needs to be free to pursue that. But the greatest split of all occurred 2,000 years ago, when Christians walked a necessarily different path from their Jewish fathers. Now, God is turning the hearts of fathers to their children, and turning the hearts of children to their fathers. And the Lord will and is reconciling Jewish believers and Christians into one body. Andy, stand up and give us a twirl with your wonderful t-shirt. Yeah. Come on. You are embodiment, absolute embodiment of this. He's got a Star of David on his t-shirt, and in the middle of that Star of David is the cross of Christ. By divine coincidence, by divine appointment, you wore that t-shirt today. So the Jewish people are our fathers in faith. And what I'd like to do is to show you a video which I think is on here.
Yes.
Pass that to Kai. This is a, you know this song. The song is The Blessing, and I have the lyrics for you. Could you take one for two, please? Thank you. This is sung by a Messianic Christian. This man's name is Joshua Aaron. He's a Jew who loves Jesus. And we can see, he's singing mainly in Hebrew, I think entirely in Hebrew. But let's just see if we can sing along to it. What I'd just love you to do is, I know this telly's difficult to see, but if you could just look and see the embodiment of fulfilled Jewish faith. This is the embodiment of the reconciliation of fathers to their children. And see if the Lord will just move your hearts. Let's play it. Let me tell you a story about this singer, Joshua Aaron, we've just been enjoying. He's an award-winning Messianic Jewish singer and songwriter. He's a Jew who loves Jesus. His maternal grandmother, Ruth Epstein, fled from Nazi Germany in the 1940s to the Holy Land. And there she gave birth to a daughter, Chana, in 1948. Chana and her brother, Micha, were given up for adoption that year, 1948. They were separated. At the age of 11, Chana was sent to the United States. And there she gave birth to Joshua Aaron, the singer, and a daughter. In 1976, Chana accepted Jesus as her Messiah after hearing a message on the Jewishness of Jesus. At the same time, she was trying to track down her broken and separated family. In 1988, Chana went with her son, Joshua Aaron, to Tel Aviv to tell her story on national television. There was a surprise guest in the studio. It was her brother, Misha. He'd been separated from his sister, Chana, from the age of 3. They hadn't seen each other for 50 years. Wow. They wept, and the entire audience in that television studio wept. Since that reunion, Joshua has found an uncle, 3 aunts, 2 of whom were in Great Britain, and many, many cousins. Joshua says, "I believe my mother's story is a picture of God's family. One day, a great reunion will take place that will unite all believers. This is the heart of Messiah, as read in John 17:21, that we would all be one." not a broken family, but joined together as God has intended for his purposes. If there was so much joy between a brother and a sister reunited after 50 years, and the uncles, aunts, and cousins added to that family, how much more joy will there be in heaven and on earth when our Jewish brothers and sisters are reunited with Jesus, their Messiah, and through him discover all of their Christian brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, and cousins. The Jewish people are our fathers in faith. We, their children, have left home. We had to. But God will restore Christians to Jews and Jews to Christians. There will be one body in Christ. Politics and current events have nothing to do with this. And here's the proof. God has spoken. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. That's the Old Testament. Here's the New, Romans 11:25 to 26. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles, those who are not Jews, has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Amen. Ephesians 2:14 to 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was then and still is to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, thank you for your t-shirt, Andy, by which he put to death their hostility. Now, Paul is writing about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles. And he reminds Gentile believers that we once were outsiders, strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God. But now, through the blood of Christ, they have been brought near. Jesus has broken down that dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, creating one new humanity and establishing peace. Yes, we don't yet see it, but we glimpse it now. We glimpse it now in a way that those born before 1948 could never have seen it. There is a change in the air. And what's happening in the Middle East right now, dreadful things that are happening in the Middle East, will nevertheless call people, Jews and Gentiles, to cry out to God, amen, to turn to God. And that's our prayer. Come on, God, may they find you. Find them, Lord, and may they find you. So, Jews and Gentiles, Jews are the fathers of the faith. We Gentiles are their offspring. And as we all receive this revelation that God is our Father and Jesus is our brother, so all are reconciled to God in one body through the cross, united by the Holy Spirit, can only come through revelation. But God's doing that work.
Thank you.
You know, anti-Semitism is a spirit. And I know that because I was brushed with it when I was a child. And that's before my parents told me that we were Jewish. The spirit of anti-Semitism is a revulsion, a loathing, a disgust, and a contempt towards Jews. And it comes straight from the pit of hell. It's envy. It's envy. It's a spirit of envy. And if you, like me, have been brushed with that spirit at any time, that spirit of anti-Semitism, we need to repent of it. And we need to renounce it. So just take a moment, as the Lord walks among us, just to check in with your own heart and with the Holy Spirit and your conscience, and just see if that applies to you. Someone read earlier a scripture which says, God has named all the families of the world. Some of them are named after Ishmael. And we must love our Arab brothers and sisters. Yeah. We must. Some of them are named after Jacob. Some of them are named after all sorts. But God knows their names and he calls their names. Whatever the name of your family is or was, God knows, God loves them, and he calls their names tenderly. We cannot, must not ever harbour racism.
That's right.
It's common to all humanity, racism, because it comes from hell. God has named these families. He loves them. We have to love them. And God is actively seeking reconciliation between Jews and Gentiles, but it's bigger than that. That's huge, but it's bigger than that. His heart is for this whole world to be reconciled to him, to know him as Father. And we have a part to play in this. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20 says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Thank you, Lord. I am so grateful. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right.
That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, you, me, us, we're Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And this goes beyond reconciliation within the family of God. You know, somebody once wrote a magazine article years back which said, forgive us our denominations. God, honestly, sometimes we've all had to leave home, right? But we still need to honour our fathers.
That's right.
We need to honour our... Even we may be convinced our father's got some significant things wrong and did some significant things that were wrong. But we still need to honour our fathers. So as the Lord's doing this work at the minute, I just ask us just to take a moment and check for party spirit in our heart. Is there denominational spirit? We went to see an old friend in Romsey the other day, and she lives in a little tiny village, and she took us to the church, and she said, this is the church I go to, it's the Anglican church, I go there because it's part of my community. And I said, is there another church? She said, well, there's the Presbyterian one. I said, and that's the one you don't go to. Go to this one. I don't go to that one. Let's just take a moment just to check in. Are there Christians? We think, oh, I'm touching you with a barge pole. God puts his treasure in them too.
Absolutely.
Is Jesus Lord?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
He puts his treasure in them too. Let's just take a moment just to go, I was told by a wonderful Catholic pastor some years back, already given you the punchline to this, and I just couldn't understand how he was working to bring reconciliation between ex-IRA paramilitaries and provos who are diehard Protestants. How is God doing this? You're a Catholic pastor and you're breaking bread with them in defiance of the Pope and they're coming to you to pray. I said, how does it work, Des? And he said, trouble you Protestants, you're always protesting. He said, I'm committed to your commitments and we're committed to the Lord and God works it out.
Wow.
But it goes beyond this. God's heart's for the whole world to be reconciled to him. Mm. I was visiting a neighbor the other day who was displaying his wood turning on the Stenning Arts Trail. In fact, it's available today. He's
two doors down.
Beautiful, beautiful work. And he opened up about his illness. And I said, we pray for him. And afterwards, when I came back home, I just felt the Lord say, Andrew, treat this community like your congregation.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Wow, that's so true.
Okay, they may be far off. That one isn't actually, knows the Lord. They may be far off, but God's not far from them. And his heart is for reconciliation with them. Who's God placed you with? You know, some of our neighbors are hard work. most of them are wonderful, actually. Some of them mean, God, give me grace, give me patience. The whole earth is the Lord's and everyone in it, Psalm 24. So we should, in the words of Jesus, love the Lord our God with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. Psalm 68:6 says, God sets the lonely in families. Or as some versions put it, God makes a home for those who are alone. We don't have to look far to find people who are lonely and who need friendship, need companionship. They need you just to call in, just to say hi, just to smile. You know, each of us is a gift to others in the body and to the ones the Lord's put us with, our neighbours,
right.
Our local communities, the people next door, our colleagues, the ones we work with. Each of us is a gift.
Mm.
You know, and Babs, just as you have woven a golden thread into the lives of children and others, that's what we're all called to do.
Mm.
Just to see the treasure within. Because God knows them, he's called them all by name. He put each one on this earth. He loves each one. We don't just look at the earthiness and go, you know, but actually just call out that treasure. Call it out in people, call it out and give them a little more. Put a little more into them. Weave in a golden thread into those people. There are lonely people out there who need to know our love.
Mm.
And maybe by the grace of God, then know his love. So I'd like us, please, just to get into pairs, but not with the one who you came with. And consider how the person you are in a pair with now is a gift to the body and to the community God has placed them in. And speak what you see over them. And pray for each other.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.